Thank the Lord for another beautiful day and for the wonderful week. Can you say that this week? Amen. Was it a good week? Lord has been very good. Before we start, I just want to remind us all that we're just another week closer to eternity. I think we all need to just be reminded of that every time, every day. When you go to bed at night and you say your evening prayers, do you say, "Thank you, Lord, that I am one day closer"? I do thank the Lord for that. These are your prayers this morning, that the Lord will bless His Word. I have some scriptures I'm going to start out with to lay a little foundation. And the first one is in Romans 15 and 4. And it says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." I want to connect that scripture now with Romans 4, parts of verses 23 and 24, and the place that this is written of is Abraham's faith that is counted for righteousness. And it says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone, but for us, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead." So there's a couple of things that we're thinking of this morning that have been written for us. And then the next scripture is Colossians 1 and from verses 3 through 6. And Paul says here, "We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," first part of verse 3. Verse 5, verse 4, "since we heard of your faith." So Paul is being very thankful. Thanks God for their faith. It is written, this particular letter is written, if you see in the second verse, it's written to the saints and to faithful brethren. And he's also thankful for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard it. So not only are these things written, but they're spoken of. And down through our lives, we have heard it from probably every angle. The word of the Lord is given from one angle to another. I'm glad that we can have it a variety of ways of hearing the word of God. It gives us balance. And it says here in the latter part of that verse that ye have heard it in the word of the truth of the gospel. Verse 6, it says, "which is come unto you as it is in all of the world." So the word of the Lord has been sent out to all of the world, a portion of it, to every generation. We believe this. And it says, "since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of God in truth." Thank the Lord this morning for the grace of God in truth. I'm thankful for the written word. I'm thankful for the spoken word. I'm thankful for the inspiration of the word. And the word of the Lord was given to all of us, each of us, for many purposes. It wasn't just to be saved. The word was not given just to be sanctified. The word was not given just for the healing of our body. But he is interested in the whole man. And he is interested in the success of our Christian walk. And there is another scripture that joins in with some of these first verses. It's John 20 and 31. And it speaks something to this effect, and that these things were written, or these are written. And if you look there, you'll find that it's speaking about all of the works of Christ. And it says that even if they were all written, it's not all written in the book. But we have enough knowledge, enough understanding that we can know. And so it was written that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. I'm going to connect up a portion of another scripture, which is familiar to us all. It says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity." And we're familiar with the latter part of that verse that says the greatest of these is charity. And charity is not our subject this morning. It's a message in itself. But what we do find throughout the scripture is faith and hope and trust. And this morning we want to focus on hope. We want to go to another scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 12, which is in that same chapter of faith, hope, and charity. And it says in that particular verse, it says, "Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known." I'm thinking of how that the scriptures are sometimes a little obscure, that it takes the Spirit of God to unfold it to us in working with the little class and trying to give the scriptures that are in their language and that they can understand, and giving the definitions of some little words, wanting it to open up to little children. And I believe that the word of the Lord can be opened up to every age, that it's the desire, it's the office of the Holy Spirit to lead us one step at a time in understanding, in enlightenment, in opening up the word to us to a greater capacity. And I look back over my own life, and maybe you do too, and you see that you're not back where you back at that place where you were seeing through a glass darkly. The word of the Lord has been opened up to us little by little. And I thank the Lord for the way that he works with us. He doesn't require us to have all knowledge and all understanding. And he loves it. I say he loves it. I believe he enjoys when his people come to him and say, "Lord, what does this mean?" And I believe he takes great pleasure in turning around then and begin opening it up to us. And I have found the Lord to do that. So this morning, I found that when I tried to think about ways of presenting the word faith, I found that it's hard to explain. We can experience faith. We can understand it to a degree, but we believe that faith is ever increasing in the knowledge, and that that God desires it to be that way, that we grow in faith. And then when I thought of the, and I've had this word on my heart for a few weeks of hope, and I said, Lord, how do I even express what hope is? I know hope, but I don't know how to put it into words. So I found it very similar to faith. So what I found in the word to help us relate to the word hope, it's an object of natural hope that we can relate then to spiritual hope. And we all have a little understanding of the things that we hope for in our daily life. I hope that this works out. I trust that this works out, being in my natural life. But I found a scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and it's part of verses 7 and 8 and 10. And what this is expressing here, it says, if we plant a vineyard, do we not hope to eat of it? Now, that's my words. So if we plant something, we expect, we look for, anticipate, and we hope to reap some benefit from a vineyard that we have planted. And then it goes on in verse 8 or 10 maybe, and it says, it speaks about a farmer. Well, it doesn't say the word farmer, but it, you will agree with me. But if this person is plowing his ground in hope, well, he plows in hope. He plows his field, but he does it with a hope. Now, this is natural hope. And we can relate to those things that we hope for in this life. And then it goes on and it says, even for one that threshes the grain, they thresh the grain in hope, hope of getting something from it. And then it says, they become a partaker of this hope. So then it says this, this also is written for our sakes. So you see how the word of the Lord is so good to just little by little and here a little, there a little. And he opens it up to us and he says, now I want you to understand that that same kind of hope is for you spiritually. And I don't think that, I know I don't. I don't go around every day saying, oh, I just hope for eternal life. I hope for my salvation. But there are objects of spiritual hope, and salvation is an object of our spiritual hope. Righteousness is an object of our spiritual hope. We hope in righteousness. We hope for eternal life. We hope for the coming of the Lord. We hope in the word of the Lord. And what hope does is we connect hope and faith and trust together. They're very, very closely related. we also hope in the shed blood, don't we? Don't we plead the blood? We have hope in that it's the power of the blood is still working today and will work to the end of our life or to the end of time. And we place our hope in it. And then we also, don't we place it in the resurrection? The fact that Jesus did not stay in that grave, that he came up, he arose the third day. And there's a scripture now I want us to also read in connection with that. It's in 1 Peter, the first chapter in verse 3. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. What is a lively hope? I think that it's a hope that is active. we're conscious of it. We need to think about our hope. And here's what it was: a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the scripture plainly tells us that had he not risen, we would be hoping in vain. It would all be in vain. But the fact that he arose from the grave, he arose to an immortal body, he ascended to the Father, he is there today. I'm hoping in that. I'm hoping in the fact that he is interceding for me. I'm hoping in the fact that he is a discerner of my thoughts. I'm hoping in the fact of the scriptures that said, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. And I'm hoping in that fact that he wants to help me see myself. He wants to temper me. He wants to shape me and mold me and fashion me. He wants me to make heaven. Thank the Lord. He wants you to make heaven this morning. Whatever our life has, whatever problems come to us in our life, whatever failures that we may have in our life, it's not the end. That's what we need to hope in. Because we hope in the fact that his mercy endureth forever. It is new every morning. His compassions fail not. We hope in all of that, but we don't consciously say, I hope in it. But I believe the Lord is calling at least me to place more of a conscious hope or thought in all that he has for each one of us. He is so concerned. We might say, well, he's concerned about the whole world. He is, but I want to tell you, he's concerned about you and me. The scripture tells us that he has our name on the palm of his hand. Do you ever write yourself a note and put it in the palm of your hand to help you remember something? Well, yes, I've done that, and I would say you've done it too. It can be washed off, but I want to tell you, your name is there. And you can hope in that. He won't forget you. He will help you. Thank the Lord. So, in thinking about hope, I had this thought come that it said, hope is not just wishful thinking. I'm not just wishing for it. We may wish for things, but, you know, wishing and actually having the hope is two different things. Wishing is very shallow. And it says it is a firm assurance of those things not yet seen. Now, we've had some messages of late that was about Noah and how that Noah, he hoped in what the word of what God spoke to him, that it was true. He trusted in it. He believed it. He had faith in it. It was that faith that saved his family. But it had never been seen before. And it happened. It came to pass. Now, faith believes the promise. I found this in a little commentary, and I think it's worth passing on to you this morning. Faith believes the promise. Hope is the thing promised. We haven't received it yet, but we're hoping in the promise. But faith is the believing of it. And that which is promised is yet to be realized. Now, been thinking about that. In other words, the hope of eternal life, I haven't received it yet, but I hope in it, believe in it, I trust in it. I trust that it's true and that it will be there for me if I prove faithful. Trust is the confidence in the promise or giver of the promise. Now we trust God. Why? Because he's proved himself faithful. Someone said here today that they were glad. I think it was Ben said he was glad that the Lord proved himself in a little thing like a fishing rod. Oh, I want to tell you, if we will seek the Lord, do you ever say, Lord, prove yourself to me? Amen. Prove your faithfulness to me? Pray that way. Test him. Try him. Amen. He wants to try you. Did you know you can try him? You can test him. And go before the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to prove yourself to me. Now, if we sincerely want him to prove himself to us, we're sometimes opening ourselves up for a place for him to do that. But don't be afraid. Trust him and hope in him. Hope that he will bring you through and out into a wealthy place, and he will prove his great power. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to look back. Oh, it's not always so wonderful in the middle of it. But I want to tell you, when you get past it and look back, you can just feed off of that spoil. And it will bless your life. And it will prepare you for the next place, because there's going to be other places that he wants to prove himself. So trust is the confidence in the promise or the giver of the promise that it will not fail. Do you get a hold of the word of the Lord where it says that his promises will not fail? The only failure is on your part or my part when we fail to claim the promises and hold on to the promises and wait for the promises. Okay, the scripture also, which is familiar, it says faith is the evidence. And then we're saying hope is the expectations of the evidence, or the things that are not seen yet. I read this little statement also as I was studying this subject, that faith is the mother of hope. I don't think any one of us this morning could have hope at all unless we had faith first. So I think the statement is true. Hope is the product or the offspring of faith. And you and I must also exercise something. In addition to having faith and hope and trust, we must exercise patience, because there's going to be a lot of waiting for the promise, for that which we hope for. We're going to have to wait for it, or you'll miss it altogether. It'll not come as long as we are not patiently waiting with faith, hoping in it and trusting in it. So that I have a scripture now to go with that. I know that you know the scripture. It's Romans 8, parts of 23 and 25, or through 25, and it speaks about groaning within ourselves. And I'm not expecting you to remember the message, but it could have been last year. We had a message on groaning, and maybe the Lord sent it for me. I haven't forgotten that message. But you and I sometimes groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. Now, I believe that we can, well, the scripture tells us not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But I get weary sometimes, and I long. Now, I don't pray for it like I once did for the Lord to come. I've learned my lesson in that. But I do say, Lord, how long? And I believe that scripture. I believe we can say, Lord, how long? Not that he's going to answer us with a date. I don't believe he's going to do that, but it does let him know our weariness and that we're groaning within ourselves, waiting for that redemption of the body when I have a new body, when I'm no longer faced with all of these trials and these tests and these temptations and the places where I fail in my temptations and I get weary. And I'm longing for that place where I'm free. Now, I believe we have power. We have grace. Where sin doth abound, his grace does much more abound. I'm not diminishing the power of God or the grace of God at all. But I think this is life. And we need to also accept that we sometimes will groan within our spirit. And then it says, for we are saved by hope. Now, I've read that many times, and I thought that was my salvation. But it's not. It's like being saved from a car wreck. God reached out and turned, and you didn't have that wreck. You were saved from it. Or it's like being saved from the temptation. It was by hope. Hope in his grace. Hope in his power. So we are saved by hope. And then it says, hope that is seen is not hope. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we have patience. Then do we with patience wait for it. Patiently waiting for the answers to prayer. Patiently waiting for that victory to come. Patiently enduring. The Lord can give you and me patience. Hope comes from God. And hope is directed and should be directed to God. He's the source of our hope. We cannot hope in any other source. There is no other name whereby men shall be saved. And to hope in Jesus Christ and his resurrection and hoping in the plan of God, it's the only hope. Now, I want to tell you something. The ungodly, the lost of this world, have no hope. They don't even think about hope. They may think about it. They may, if they have any knowledge at all about salvation, they may say, well, I hope to be saved someday. And that's not a bad thing. But oftentimes, the good intentions will just slip through their hands. Time will be no more, and they will find it is too late. But they may have a hope of making heaven. And some of them may even avail themselves of that hope, and they may make it. And we pray that they will. And that is one of the reasons that we all carry a burden for our loved ones. We don't want to see any of our loved ones lost. And we hope also in the fact that you and I can stand in the gap. We can plead for them. We can intercede. Remember, that's the prayer that God hears, is of the righteous, is an interceding prayer. Learn to intercede for those that can't really intercede for themselves unless it's a prayer of repentance. Pray for God to bring them to a place of godly sorrow. They can't do it with just the sorrow of the world. Lord, I'm sorry I got caught. I am sorry I am lost and undone, and I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the salvation of Jesus Christ. That's the only way they can be saved. So, hope comes from God. David said in one verse in Psalms 39:7, it says, my hope is in you. I like that little verse. My hope is in you. I don't hope in man. I can't hope. You know what? You can't hope in your companion. You can't place any hope in the president. We can't hope in any man and it be effective. We have to hope in God. Thank the Lord. So I want to, I hope I can present this quickly. I want you to turn with me to Romans 8 and look at verses, Romans 4. There's a lot of good scriptures in Romans about hope. The fourth chapter, I'm going to look at verse 18, and it says that this is about Abraham, and it says, who against hope believed in hope. Remember, we started out with the scripture, one of the three was there at the end of that chapter, where these things were written not just for Abraham, but they were written for us too. And then verse 18 speaks of Abraham when he was, his faith was counted for righteousness. And he said, who against hope believed in hope? It just almost confused my mind as I was studying this. Lord, how can we still hope when we don't have anything to really hope in? That's how Abraham was. He didn't, every reasoning of his mind, if he allowed it, would say, there's no hope. Your body is dead. God's promised you a child. There's no hope. It's too late. If he had chosen to believe that way, would he have received the promise? No, he wouldn't. Verse 19 says, he was not weak in faith. So here he had a hope and he believed in it, whether he had hope or not. Now, there's a lesson in this for you and me, because I think that we're going to come to places where we're going to, human reasoning will say, there's no hope. There was someone that had lived their life like they wanted, all of their life, had not given their heart to the Lord, but they had a form. Oh, they had some knowledge, and they took on a form of godliness, and they counted themselves as righteous, though they were not. And I won't say any more than that. But when it came close to the end of their life, did you know they said, is there hope? Is there any hope? There is hope. I believe there is hope as long as there's breath. Amen. And as long as a heart will cry out to the one that has hope. And I believe that the Lord can help them. But we don't want to waste our life like that and come down to the end and say, my hope is gone. But Abraham here, he believed in the hope even though there was no hope that he could see. And he said he was not weak in faith. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Well, look at this, and let's think about what does unbelief do? It kills faith. It paralyzes faith. It destroys hope. If I lose my faith, what have I gained? I haven't gained anything. I've lost. And Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, verse 21, and being fully persuaded. I think that that's a key to our hope. Being fully persuaded in the promises of God, and that what he has promised, he's able to perform, not allowing any promise to fall to the ground. Has God ever given you a promise? The Lord has given me promises. He's given me one specific promise that has endured many testings. And he has proven himself over and over. And I don't hope in those now because I have those. But there's still yet some to come. Now I can look back and allow all of those answers to prayer, strengthen my faith and confidence and trust, and say, I still have a hope in God, though I don't see anything happening right now, because he has done it. Did you know that's why Abraham was able to maintain his faith in a hopeless condition? Because he remembered, I believe, it doesn't say it, but he remembered what God had done in the past. Now you and I need to keep in mind those things that God has done in the past. You remember, and I don't do it myself. I start it, but I can't finish it. I'm not a diary keeper. I don't keep a log of. But you know what? When I'm in a certain place and I'm needing to remember, God brings it back to my mind. Now it's the scripture says, and there was a book of remembrance written. It's good if you can be a writer and if you can write down these experiences and go back and read them. I wish I were that way, but I'm not. I start it and I just drop it after a while. But it's in my heart. Let the past blessings always be there. And allow the Holy Spirit to bring that up to you. And when you need it most, it will inspire your faith, whether you have any reason to hope or not. And that was Abraham. Abraham believed. So I wrote down a few things that I thought might help us to understand how Abraham believed. And it was the very fact, though he had human reasoning, it was his experience that brought hope. One thing that Abraham did, that I think he did, it doesn't say this, And I think that we will all have to do this too, is to look away from the lack of hope in whatever situation that we are, and to consider only the faithfulness of God, to remember only the positive things that have happened. Don't look at, and remember, God does not fail. And if we look at a situation and we have a question, did God fail in that? We have to say no, even though it may appear to be so. We must say man failed, but not God. We must keep our hope bright in God. So Abraham, as the scripture said, he was fully persuaded. And if you want to have a bright and a lively hope, we all will have to be fully persuaded that he's able to perform what he has promised. Now I want to go over to, for closing, in Psalms, starting in chapter 42. And we're going to talk a little bit about David before we close this morning. This chapter 42 and 43 are wonderful chapters, and if you want, it would be good for you to study this a little bit more than what we're able to present here this morning in your devotions. So In verses 5 and 11 of chapter 42 and verse 5 of Psalms 43 are very similar, if not almost exact, scriptures that David said. So we're going to read one of those, but all three of them speak almost identical. And it says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" And then what does it say? "Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And then one of them even says that it would be the health of my countenance. Don't you know that your countenance shows your mood or your spirit? It shows when you're happy. It shows when you're troubled. It shows when you're sad. Do you ever say, "I'm just not going to let anybody know how I feel"? And invariably, it comes across in your countenance. But David here is saying, that's where my hope is. It'll even be, my countenance is going to be healthy because I have a hope. My hope is bright. My hope is a lively hope. So I want to look at some of the things in these chapters as to why David said this thing three times. In the first part of the 42nd, he says he pants. He is thirsty for God. He says, "My soul panteth after thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. And then shall I come and appear. And when shall I come and appear before God?" You see, he's thirsty, and yet in the back of his mind, he's already thinking, how long is it going to be? And then he speaks about his tears. He has tears day and night. And they, the people around him, they say, "Where is your God?" You know, there may be people that may even question us. Do you really have a hope? Where is your God? How do you know God's hearing your prayers? That is all meant to discourage us. But we must resist that. And then he says, "I pour out my soul in me," verse 4. "And I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise for a multitude that kept holy day." And then he said, "Why am I cast down? I went to the house of the Lord. I know what it's like to go and praise God." Even though this one over here is saying, "Where is your God?" Even though my weeping has been like meat all day and all night. And then he says, "Why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted? You just need to hope in God. You're going to still be able to praise the Lord. You're still going to you're still going to have the help of his countenance." What is that? That is our precious Lord looking on us. Do you believe God looks on you? Do you believe he's watching what is happening in your life? He's preparing the blessing. Wait for it. So the next part, it says, "Will I remember thee from the land?" And then verse 7 says, "Deep calleth to deep, and the waves and thy billows are gone over me." Sometimes we can feel that way. We can just feel the trouble is just mounting, and we're just about to get under it. David felt that way. And he said, yet. See, we all need some yets in our vocabulary. Oh, Lord, I'm so discouraged. Yet. And that's what he has here. Yet The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. And I will say unto God, my rock. And then he slips back just a little bit and he says, why don't you remember me? I want to tell you, there's going to be times you're not going to feel the presence of the Lord. Don't let it discourage you and drive you back and cause you to give up. Yet, his loving kindness will be there. And then, again, he says in verse 10, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? I don't see the Lord blessing you. And then David says again, why is my soul cast down? I'm going to yet praise him. I'm still going to receive help. My hope is in God. Amen. Oh, let us be like this. Then the next chapter it says, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against the ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. And then he says it again, why dost thou cast me off? He just sort of slips back and forth. And if you find an experience where you're just slipping back and forth, don't be discouraged. Hope in God. Hope in the midst of it. And he says, why are you forgetting me? And then he says again, my enemies reproach me and they say daily, where is thy God? And then David goes back and he starts talking to his soul again. Why are you cast down? Hope in God. He's still going to be the health of your countenance. You can have that look of hope on your face no matter what you're going through. Oh, I want to tell you, I'm probably the world's worst at showing my feelings on my face. I would like to improve. And I think this is the way. Just hope in the Lord. I want to close in the fifth chapter of Romans again. I told you there was a lot of good verses in that book of Romans on hope. And we're just going to read these verses in closing. And it says, first verse, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I want to say we have hope with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The latter part of verse 2 says, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I'm telling you, we need to just get a hold of the Word of God and read these things and say, this is going to work for my good because he promised. That's where my hope is, that this thing that has come into my life is going to work for me. Thank the Lord. And it's going to give you patience. Patience is going to give you experience. I want to tell you, experience is your best teacher. Sometimes when you have failed, it'll teach you something. And other times it will teach you another thing. But it says, what does experience give you? Hope. So patience gives experience. Experience gives us hope. And then verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed. And I can't say that I fully understand that, but I know one thing. He doesn't want me to be ashamed of the gospel. And then it says, because. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God, going back to that now, Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And charity was the greatest. And it is the love of God in your heart that gives you hope, and you won't be ashamed. It is the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Reach out and take it. We have to reach out and accept what God has for us. Pray for me.